It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ? We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to do the first seven verses, actually the eight verses of chapter 6, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 8. We'll get it straight here in just a second. I'm glad that you joined us today to study God's precious Word, and it's just exciting to do so. While you're opening up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, it is a precious, sweet time to study God's Word today, and it is time for the truth. I hope that was enough time for you to open up your Bibles and begin now as we read Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and that they took them wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, and were of old men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's begin with prayer after we've read God's precious Word today. Father, I thank you and praise you that we have this wonderful opportunity to study God's Word together. Please, Lord, you continue to add listeners, that they will come and be a part of this Bible study, because it's so important that we know your Word and we know the full counsel from cover to cover of your precious Word, not just certain areas. And Father, that's the reason that we enjoy studying so many different areas of your precious Word. And today we're in Genesis, and we're enjoying the sixth chapter. So please guide and lead us, Father, as we study and enjoy this time together. Now please guide and lead us and touch every one of our hearts. Apply whatever need is there. If it's for salvation, Lord, if they do not know you as their Savior, please convict their heart, and they will come to you. And then, Father, begin that wonderful walk. So please do a work today in each one of our hearts and our lives, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at these verses of Scripture, and it doesn't take us long to find our way down into the third verse, because that's where we ended last time we were together. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and that they took them wives of all which they chose. We are seeing that the very same problem that Eve had when she was tempted by the serpent, by Satan, we find that she looked, she tasted, it was her eyes that begin the problem. And so often today it continues to be the problem. We know, as we will continue to study in Genesis, and we'll come on upon Adam, Abraham, and Isaac, and we look at those beautiful stories, we also find a man named Lot. And when we find Lot, which is Abraham's nephew, we'll find that he begins to grow and to become very large. And when they became very large in size of flocks, cattle, and sheep, and all, that they had to part ways, and so Lot went one way and Abraham went the other way. Well, Abraham gave Lot, even though Abraham was the elder and had the choice, he still gave Lot the choice, and he says, you know, whichever way you want to go, I'll go the opposite way, and that's how we'll work this little conflict out. That seemed fair, and so Lot looked, and it wasn't long we find him down in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so many times it's the eyes. And here we have the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Now, do you remember or did you miss the opportunity of being with us last time to see what we talked about concerning that? We discussed that as man multiplied, I'm afraid sin multiplied alongside. And then I think we also took some time last time we were together and we looked at the sons of God and the daughters of men. I believe the sons of God to be the line of Seth, those that followed after God's word. But they decided at some time to stop following the word of God and the direction of God and the will of God, and they started to look. And when they looked, they found something, and what they found was the daughters of men, the line of Cain. And it wasn't long then that they began to take those daughters to be their wives, and they took them more on looks than they did on anything else, and they should have stayed separated, but their eyes got them in trouble. They saw that they were fair. They married strange wives, we could say. They were unequally yoked with unbelievers. We looked up 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We looked at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 2 through 4. And it is told very clearly when we begin this walk. And we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And when we find the Israelites getting an opportunity to leave the land of Egypt and be set free and be taken to the promised land, that they were told once again to stay within their families. Do not yoke up with unbelievers, with those of another faith or another walk or another belief. And today we have that in such a great numbers that people are walking after things of this life and this world, and they're not looking unto the Lord for their direction, for their work as they live upon this earth. They do not look unto the Lord for their bride-to-be, or their husband-to-be. They just take their eyes and they look. They don't look unto the Lord, spiritually look. They physically look. And we have some terrible consequences here. And we have here in the third verse the result. The Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be numbered 120. And so we're given the time there, and that's the result. What happens when sin becomes so strong and so prevalent, the Spirit of God no longer will come and no longer be with us. It is pulled away. It's going to do the same thing is going to occur as this as the church age comes to a close. I believe that the church will be raptured, and the reason the church will be raptured, it's going to be much like it was at this time here with Noah. The wickedness of the world is becoming so strong that God will choose to take his people, the church, those that are born again believers, out of this world, and judgment will come. And that's exactly what we have here. And we have an opportunity for these people to see the wrath of God, and before that they have the time and the opportunity to see the mercy of God, because it doesn't just happen overnight. He proclaims it here, 120 years. 120 years is given to them to ponder on this, to listen to the truth, to repent of their ways, and come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The result of this disobedience above, and the multiplication of the increase in population, the increase in population brought an increase of sin. An increase of sin then come into the family of God, the sons of God, that they decided to not stay with their own, and they chose strange women, unequally yoked with unbelievers. And again, we do that today. The time as we come through here, if the Spirit be quenched, how is the Spirit of God quenched? It's quenched by you and by me as we are disobedient to the will and the way of God. We choose not to hear, or we hear and we do not respond. Either way, it accomplishes something that's very serious, and that is we begin to quench the Spirit. Quench the Spirit. And a person that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior can do this. As the Holy Spirit calls that person for repentance, shows them that they're a sinner, calls them to repentance, presents unto them the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and yet they reject it. They quench the Spirit. And that was done repeatedly at this time. And we talked about all the years, the number of years, and I have made just little notes next to it so I can see it clearly. You know, we had Adam, he was 930 years old, Seth, 912, and it just keeps going, 905, 910, 895, 962. It just continues, and then we come to Enoch, where the evilness and the wickedness was becoming so strong at this time, and Enoch was such a godly man that God said, "That's enough. I'm taking this man, my man, out of here." And he did. He just took him home. He didn't have to face death. He just took him home. It was because he was walking a walk that was so pleasing to the Lord, and the world was rejecting that walk so much that there was not much choice, because I'm sure that he probably would have been put to death if God had not taken him. And so Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Verse 24 of the fifth chapter tells us. And then we come on with the Methuselah, and we have Methuselah here was 969 years. Lamech was 777 years. And as we come through these times, and Lamech, of course, is Noah's father, and then we kind of come to a stop and we begin to look at something else. We stop looking at this godly line and we begin to look at the world once again, and we don't like what we see. Well, I think we see the same thing today. We see the world and its ungodliness. The Lord said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." Because of their wickedness, they are quenching the Spirit to where the Spirit of God is going to be totally taken away. And something most terrible is going to happen. And if you've ever read the Word of God, you know what it is. It's a flood. It's a flood that covers every inch of the world all the way around. It goes to the highest peak and covers it. It was not a local flood, just a small area. You know, a few years ago, while we went through a time of flooding in this area along the Mississippi River, and that old Mississippi showed us its force, you know. God brought the rains and the rains and the rains, and it just, there was no levee that was capable of holding it. It would break in an area, and just in a few hours, and sometimes just a couple of hours, it was higher than it ever was. And it just continued to do that. And so, you know, as we look at this, and we see this small little area of flooding, it was nothing like it was in this time that we're talking about here. And it has come, the result is the disobedience of man. The ignorance to God and the disobedience to man. And it's going to happen again. Not by a flood now, right now at this time. But there's going to be a judgment, and that judgment is soon to come. And it's coming because God is saying once again, my spirit shall not always strive with man. It's coming. Now let's look at some of the things that we see here. My spirit will not always strive with man. Let's look at Hosea 4:17. Hosea 4:17. Let's see if we can find this. Hosea 4:17. Sometimes those small little books are kind of hard to find. Daniel, Hosea, and so if you Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Hope you know the books of the Bible. Makes it much easier to find them. You need to learn them, be able to open your Bible and use it. It's a tool that you need for life. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Very short verse. Says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Look at that. He's joined to idols. Let him alone. Now, we're going to find the same thing with this land and the people that we have today. God is going to no longer strive with us. He will say, leave him alone. Now, you don't think God's going to do that. He will do that. You best look back to God's Word and stop this playing church, or you just need to go back to God's Word, please. I just beg you to do that. 120 years. 120 years is what's said here. In the third verse, the Spirit will stop calling because you've quenched the Spirit. God calls for repentance. We have some of the result in verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bare children of them, the same became mighty men and were of old men of renown. Giants, men of renown. If you go back to Numbers 13:33, which is after the flood, of course, you'll find that there were giants in the land, the sons of Anak. If you go to Isaiah 37:11, which again is, of course, after the flood, you'll find the king of Assyria, and they're kind of known as men of terror. And we have the same here. We have strong men, we have mighty men, and we have very educated men. But the problem is that they're very wicked. And when we look at these strong men, these wicked men, that's a result, all the way up to verse 2. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. When they started to leave what God commanded them, started doing what God commanded them not to, it wasn't long that it had taken such a toll that God had to say, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Were giants in the earth in those days, verse 4 again. Also after that, and when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, that the same became mighty men. You know, as you look, we have many folks today that are very, very smart and very, very powerful, but they too are very, very wicked. And when we find that when bad men are bad, that's one thing. But when bad men are honored, that's another. And that's what we have today. Let's look at the fifth verse here now in Genesis chapter 6. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know, you think bad is bad. Man here in Genesis chapter 6 is deliberately evil. They are going against God's word, against God's will, deliberately. They're making an act. It's an action. It's deliberate. Not because they're just careless, but it's deliberate. And God saw it. And again, when a bad man is bad, when he acts wicked, that's one thing. Because then the law and the courts and the world says that man is wicked and that man is bad and we need to confine that man or we need to put that man to death. We need to take care of this wicked man. That's one thing. But when bad men are honored and when bad men are put into a position of power, that is when we're in trouble. That's when the wickedness begins to multiply. Let's go back to James chapter 1, verse 15. Very simple principle that we have in God's Word. You've probably read it many times. James chapter 1, verse 15. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin hath, it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the steps. That's the steps that are taken. And so when a bad man, for whatever reason, is no longer looked to be bad and begins to be honored and begins to be placed in a place of power and position. And you know, we have a multitude of leaders of this land that see no problem, no harm in homosexuality, no harm with lesbians, no problem with that at all. And even put those people into places of position and power. And also, then we have these people that see no problem in killing millions of babies and vote in favor of it. And those people are bad people, are evil people, are wicked people. And they've been put into a place of power, a place of strong position. And no one seems to have a problem with it. That's exactly the same thing that happened before the flood. It's exactly the same thing that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. People that were bad were supported by other evil, wicked people. The good were quiet, and they got mixed up with the bad. Remember, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. So the wickedness grew, but it grew much because the good followed after the bad and began to watch the evil works, and after being a part of it so long, they became a part of it. And no longer was there any influence of the Spirit of God. And the wickedness continued then to grow at such a great rate. And that's what we have today. We have the growth of sin and of wickedness at such a large, at such a fast pace because the Spirit no longer strives with man. Yes, the Spirit of God is still here and the Spirit of God is still at work, and I thank and praise God that He is here. That He is still working on the hearts of men. But how long will He work? Because we have the exact same situation now that they had here. And it was the same thing that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. The bad men, the bad women, started to be in the places of power and of authority. And when that happens, sin begins to multiply. Wickedness multiplies at such a fast pace. And it's not long. And that's the reason we know that Jesus Christ has got to be coming and got to be coming soon. Because the wickedness of this land, and not only just that men are wicked, But in many cases, a lot of our leaders are following that same wickedness. Maybe they don't agree with it. Maybe they don't agree with that belief. But you see, if they stand against it, they'll never get elected. So they have to look at it. And they have to an extent, agree with it. Well, it's not long then that generation, part of that generation, most of the next generation, then all of the next generation will agree with those ungodly teachings, because that's all they know. Bad men, when they are honored and when they're put into places of power, wickedness multiplies. Wickedness multiplies. Evil continues. Let's look at Psalms 14. Psalms 14, verses 1 through 3. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They have done abominable things. There is none that doeth good. And the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. What a condition. That's the condition we're finding here, except for the family of Noah. And today we still have a remnant that still continues to preach the truth and teach the truth. But it's not going to be long that teaching and preaching of the truth will have to be set aside, because they're not going to allow it. Because you see, when bad men take the place of authority and are called and held into a place of honor, it's not long that evil and wickedness will grow. And it'll take to where we cannot even proclaim the truth. We'll be put to death for it. We'll be put in prison for it. It repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. That's the sixth verse. This expresses His just and holy displeasure against sin and sinners. You get of your thought that God is about to change His mind. He didn't change His mind. Man did. Man chose not to serve God. That's who changed their mind, was man. I hope today that you maybe have a different look at some things that you'd never seen before. And it all comes from this sixth chapter of Genesis. I hope that you can see that some things that maybe you disagree with, but you're not going to make a big stand about it because it's not worth the fight. Maybe you'll find that it is worth the fight. It's necessary to stand against the evils and the wickedness of this world. It's worth a fight to fight against the bad men and the bad women that choose to go against God's Word. God's Word's not allowed to be read in the schools today, but everything else can be read. Because you see, they're bad. They're bad men and bad women that have been put into places of honor and places of leadership. We need to stand up. We need to call upon our God. We need to ask for His leadership, His direction, His strength. And we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to stand against his ways. Stand with the power and the wisdom of God. And the only way that can come, and that's the only way it's going to come, is if we go into God's truth, His Word. Search it, study it, trust it, know it to be truth, and walk each day close to Him. Please, my dear friend, trust in Jesus Christ today. Come to the cross of Calvary by faith. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?